This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the prophet and the messenger of Allah. And I encourage myself and you to fear no one but Allah. As Allah your Lord states in the Holy Quran, all those who believe, fear Allah. Fear Allah the way He should be feared, and do not die unless you are in the state of Islam. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention and says, all those who believe, fear Allah and say what's straight and correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix your actions. And Allah will forgive your sins. And those who obey Allah and His Messenger will indeed succeed. A great success. Our success, my brothers in Islam, is through the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our success is through Islam. And our success is through taqwa. And we just came out of the month of taqwa. The month of Ramadan. And about to start a new month. That comes after the month that came after the month of Ramadan. We're in the month of Shawwal, and the month of Shawwal is about to end for us to start the next month after the month of Shawwal, which is the month of Dhul Qa'dah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the month of Ramadan, and after the month of Ramadan, the month of Shawwal. And it's early moments from now. We'll be talking about the preparation of the month of Ramadan for next year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us from amongst those who lived another Ramadan in their life. Which means, my brother in Islam, you'll stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, and in your records that's been recorded another Ramadan in your life. That can determine your position from the hellfire into the paradise. And during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two companions, two men, embraced Islam, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had assigned one of the companions to take care of him. So one of those two died on the battlefield. The other one died on his deathbed. The other one died on his bed, in his home. And the one that was taking care of those two companions who recently embraced Islam saw in his dream that the one that died on his bed in his home entered the Jannah before the one that died on the battlefield. In which he had that perception that many of us have, that the highest level of the Jannah is only acquired and achieved if you die on the battlefield. No, that's one way, but there's other ways too. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and speaking to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he was amazed. Why would the one that died on his bed, in his home, amongst his family, enters the Jannah before the one that died on his, the one that died in the battlefield? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, what are you amazed for? Like, what's making you so amazed? What's astonishing you? Didn't the one that died on his bed, in his home, amongst his family, didn't he live an extra year that he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more? Didn't he pray more? Didn't he fast Ramadan? Didn't he add to his records another Ramadan? So why are you amazed that the one that died in his house, in his home, on his bed, amongst his family, 1 year later, 1 year after the one that died on the battlefield, that entered the Jannah before the one that died on the battlefield? Didn't he fast another Ramadan? Maybe that gave him that leverage, gave him that advantage. Maybe because of the extra Ramadan. Maybe because of the extra Ramadan that this person had fasted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him an extra advantage over the one that died on the battlefield. So my brother in Islam, every single one of us has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this year for them to experience Ramadan in their life. For them to live another Ramadan in their life. But you know what, my brother in Islam, last I recall, the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَنْتَهِيَ رَمَضَانِ. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the month of Ramadan ends. Or, in which I'm 100% sure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, worship Allah until the month of Ramadan ends. Allah says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينِ. Continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until what? Until death. until death. Allah doesn't say, continue worshipping Allah until the end of the month of Ramadan. No! I think we need to correct our perception here. We need to go and revise that verse. Because when the month of Ramadan starts, we worship Allah until the month of Ramadan ends. But then when the month of Ramadan ends, what happens there? وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Continue worshipping Allah until you encounter death. And this is the true character of a mu'min. This is the true character of a believer. This is the character of a true believer that believes in Allah, believes in the messenger of Allah, in the book of Allah, and wants the most out of the month of Ramadan. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until that moment you die. Until you put in that hole. You continue worshipping Allah. Worshipping Allah doesn't have a limit. Worshipping Allah doesn't have an expiry date. Worshipping Allah doesn't end. It only ends by when your life ends. But unfortunately, so many Muslims worship Allah حتى ينتهي رمضان. Continue worshipping Allah until the month of Ramadan ends. What happened to those brothers and sisters that were worshipping Allah in the month of Ramadan? What happened to those brothers that were coming to the masjid every single day and every single month, every single night in the month of Ramadan? What happened to those brothers and sisters that were opening the Quran Karim every single day and every single night in the month of Ramadan? What happened to those brothers and sisters that kept away from the haram in the month of Ramadan? What happened to them right now after the month of Ramadan? Some of them don't even pray. My brothers, literally after the month of Ramadan, I had people come to me and talk to me and say to me, Sheikh, I'm struggling to uphold and establish my prayers. This person did not miss the prayer in the masjid in the month of Ramadan. Now, after the month of Ramadan, he's struggling to pray the 5 daily prayers. This person was waking up not for Fajr every single day in the month of Ramadan. He was getting up for Qiyam in the month of Ramadan. Every single day, waking up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then praying Fajr in the masjid. Now this same person after the month of Ramadan is struggling to get up for Fajr. This person was opening the Quran Kareem every single day and every single night in the month of Ramadan. Now this same person is struggling to even think of the Quran Kareem. This same person kept away from the haram. He kept away from committing the haram in the month of Ramadan. Now this person is fully ingrained and embedded with the haram after the month of Ramadan. Why? Did he read that verse incorrectly that Allah says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَنْتَهَيَا رَمَضَانَ. Continue worshipping Allah until the month of Ramadan ends. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly says, or correctly that we understand it, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Continue worshipping Allah until death encounters you. Until you die. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that very moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him and says to him, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. Get up and warn. Get up and warn. That was the first command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Muhammad, get up and warn. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gotten up and he said, La rahata ba'da al-yawm, there is no longer rest after this day. And yes, he did not rest until the final rest. He did not rest. He did not rest before the month of Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan. He did not rest. On the contrary, he only increased from his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He only increased from worshiping Allah azza wa jal. So much so, my brother in Islam, that his own wife will see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every single night getting up for the Salat al-Qiyam. Getting up for the tahajjud prayers. And how long did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get up for the tahajjud prayers? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? No, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will get up every single night in the month of Ramadan, outside the month of Ramadan, more than half of the night. So right now, in winter, where the night is 12 hours, your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be praying the Qiyam al-Layl The Qiyam prayers, he'll be praying the Nafil prayers minimum 6 hours every single night in the month of Ramadan and outside the month of Ramadan. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It wasn't early in the month of Ramadan. It wasn't early before the month of Ramadan. It was before, after, and during the month of Ramadan. Every single day, every single night. That's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Praying to Allah azza wa jal, minimum 6 hours. 6 hours, can you imagine what 6 hours standing in the middle of the night? Not during the day. In the middle of the night when you're tired, when you're fatigued, when you're longing to get asleep. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is up, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, my brother in Islam, that his own wife will say, they'll experience the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can see the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam with my own eyes. Every single night, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until what? Until his legs swell, start to shiver. You know when you stand so long, and you've been standing there for hours, what happens? Your legs start to shiver because you've been standing for so long. You need to make a bit of movement. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will experience that every single night. And Aisha says, I see that from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every single night. So one day she tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one night she tells him, O Messenger of Allah, you've been doing this every single night. Every single night I see you burdening yourself. Every single night I see you overwhelming yourself by you standing and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night until your legs start to shiver. I could see you shivering from standing. I could see your legs swell. Oh, Messenger of Allah, why do you do that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already forgiven your sins, the past and the future? Look, subhanallah, look at the way Aisha thinks. Look at the mindset of Aisha, which is that's our mindset. But Aisha's mindset is a lot more developed, a lot more advanced. This is our mindset. Oh, Messenger of Allah, what are you burdening yourself every single night? 6 hours, minimum 6 hours. Allahu A'lam, how long he goes for. One of the Sahaba says, one day I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying in the masjid during the night. This companion, Allahu A'lam, what happened to him at night? And he was just walking through the streets of Medina. So he went past the mosque and he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying in the masjid. So he decided to pray next to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're talking about the Nafil prayer. Not during the day, not Fajr. We're talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying the Qiyam prayer in the masjid. So this companion stands next to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, I stood next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, praying next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And what an honor to pray next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam during the middle of the night. So he says the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was reading from Surah Al-Baqarah. I thought to myself, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam read half Surah Al-Baqarah and get to ruku'. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went beyond half Surah Al-Baqarah until he finished Surah Al-Baqarah. He said to himself, I thought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get ruku' after he finishes Surah Al-Baqarah. How many pages is Surah Al-Baqarah? 50 pages. You could imagine if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites it, not too quick, not too slow, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would take him 2 minutes. That's 100 minutes. That's about 2 hours. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished Surah Al-Baqarah and started Surah Al-Imran. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. This companion, he says, I thought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to read half of Surah Al-Imran. Like, you know what? It's becoming too much. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished half Surah Al-Imran and continued until he finished Surah Al-Imran. And then he said, I thought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to finish Surah Al-Imran and then get a ruku'. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished Surah Al-Imran. That's in the first rak'ah. First rak'ah. Not the second. We're still talking about the first rak'ah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished Surah Al-Imran and get a ruku'. And he could imagine what's going through the mind of this companion. Okay, he's going to finish Al-Imran. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started with a surah after it. Surah Al-Nisa. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished Surah An-Nisa and this companion continues to think that, you know what, now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to get a ruku' and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah An-Nisa, Surah Al-Ma'idah make up a quarter of the Quran Kareem. But it doesn't stop over here, there's more. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to ruku' and this companion says the length of the ruku' of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was as long as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing and reciting that surah. And then the length of the sujood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as long as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing and reciting that surah. And then the length of the second sujood of the first rak'ah is as long as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing. And that's one rak'ah out of two rak'ahs. I know you calculate and say, you know what, it doesn't make sense. Yes, to you and I, And to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, yes, it doesn't make sense. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is possible. Because at the end of the day, if you think about it, 2 hours here, 2 hours here, 2 hours there, what, the entire two rak'at, about 15 hours, 24 hours, the night is not even 12 hours. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wants. This is the blessing, the barakah that Allah puts in the time. So going back to the mindset of Aisha, she sees the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every single night, get enough for the nafil prayer, get enough for the qiyam, hours and hours and hours long, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praying to Allah, and she sees the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam in his salah, in his khushu', in his devotion, and the legs of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are shivering because of him standing. Because of the long standing of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she says, O Messenger of Allah, why? Why do you burden yourself? Why do you overwhelm yourself? Why do you put yourself? Why do you put more pressure upon yourself when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already forgiven you? You are guaranteed forgiveness. That's it, you guaranteed. You guaranteed forgiveness, you are guaranteed mercy, and you are guaranteed the Jannah. And not any Jannah, but the highest level of the Jannah. So what does the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reply back? He says, if that's the case, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. If that's the case, then shouldn't I be a thankful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guaranteed me forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guaranteed me mercy, and Allah had guaranteed me the Jannah, and the highest level of the Jannah, then this is the time that I need to overwhelm myself, I need to burden myself, I need to increase from my gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at that mindset. Well, Aisha's mindset, which is our mindset, Allah had forgiven me, Allahu Akbar. How beautiful is that? Don't, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm talking about myself here. Imagine Allah informs you right now, reveals to you that, you know what, you are forgiven, that's it. Muhammad, Ahmed, Mahmoud, Chadi, you are guaranteed forgiveness. No matter what you do, that's it. We're not going to record a sin upon you. You know what I'm going to do the next day? I'm going to sleep in through Fajr, that's it. Good opportunity for me. Allahu a'lam what else we're going to do. That's our mindset. The more advantage we get, the less disadvantaged we become. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed him forgiveness and guaranteed him the Jannah, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, increased from the salah, increased from the sacrifice, increase from the worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If yesterday I prayed 6 hours to Allah before Allah guaranteed me forgiveness, today I'm going to pray 12 hours to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show Him a sign of gratitude. So my brother in Islam, Allah had blessed you with a similar blessing where Allah had blessed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a different level, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with guaranteed forgiveness, the past and the future sins. Allah had blessed you with the month of Ramadan. What did you do after it? Did you become أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا? Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed me with the blessing of the month of Ramadan, I'm gonna thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of the month of Ramadan. Therefore, after the month of Ramadan, I'm gonna be better than what I used to be in the month of Ramadan. Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like alayhi salatu wa salam. He was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrificing to Allah azza wa jal. That moment that Allah guaranteed him the Jannah and guaranteed him forgiveness, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increased. So we were sacrificing in the month of Ramadan, we were praying to Allah azza wa jal in the month of Ramadan, we were reading Quran Kareem in the month of Ramadan, we were doing a lot of good deeds and great worships in the month of Ramadan. Allah blessed you with the month of Ramadan. What did you do after the month of Ramadan? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Then shouldn't I be a thankful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah blessed me with the month of Ramadan? Where's your status now? What's your state? I'm sorry to say, my brothers in Islam, most of us, including myself, we dropped, we plunged, we've decreased. If we were praying 5 times in the masjid in the month of Ramadan, now we're praying once in the masjid after the month of Ramadan. If we're reading 10 pages in the month of Ramadan every single day of the days of the month of Ramadan, now we're reading nothing from the Quran Kareem. We've plunged. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. If Allah had blessed you with this blessing, that Allah made you from amongst those who lived another year, another month, to live the month of Ramadan, then you should be a lot more thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the month of Ramadan, and show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that sign of gratitude, that sign of appreciation. Which means what? If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was praying 6 hours before he was guaranteed forgiveness, and now he's praying 10 and 12 hours, if we were blessed by the month of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, and what we've done in the month of Ramadan, it means after the month of Ramadan, we should do more than what we did in the month of Ramadan. Be a thankful servant to Allah. Be a grateful servant to Allah Azza wa Jal. Be a thankful servant to Allah, a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sign of appreciation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you thank me more, I'll give you more. Thank Allah more, Allah will give you more. What more do you want? You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased from you more. You want Allah azza wa jalla to forgive you more. You want Allah to elevate your position in the paradise more. That's what you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah more, Allah will give you more, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers in Islam and the servants of Allah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who are truly thankful servants to Allah azza wa jal, and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him. My brothers in Islam, we need to have that mindset of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one of the primary reasons why we struggle to maintain ourselves and maintain our worships after the month of Ramadan, it's because of the mindset that we set our minds at the beginning of the month of Ramadan. When the month of Ramadan started, we set our mind, I'm going to get good. I'm going to worship Allah. I'm going to be good. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to read the Quran Kareem. I'm going to keep away from the haram. You've set your mind correctly, but you've put an expiration day, and he said, you know what, I'm going to stay like this until the end of the month of Ramadan. And he did well. Exactly how you set your mind is exactly what you've done. But the problem that you did is that you put an expiration day. You put a deadline. He said, I'm going to get good. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to get all out. I'm going to keep away from the haram. I'm going to get with the good people. I'm going to do everything that's good. But you put in your mindset, it ends by the end of the month of Ramadan. And you know what? You got exactly what you intended. That's it. You got exactly what you intended. You configured your mind and you said it this way. And you did so well. So after the month of Ramadan, you look at yourself and you say, you know what? I'm struggling. Of course you're struggling, because that's what you prepared for. You want to get from Sydney to Canberra 300 kilometers on a half a tank petrol? It doesn't work that way. You'll do that when you get to the city. You'll do that when you get a Parramatta 20, 30 kilometers. But then you drive all the way to Canberra, and halfway through the journey you break down, and you say, what happened? That's what you prepared for. That's what you planned. You prepared for half a tank. You only reached half a tank. Fill up that tank. Take an extra with you. Prepare yourself. It goes back to here. That mindset. That's why you find yourself, you're struggling. And you say, you know what, wallah, I was doing so good in the month of Ramadan. What happened to me now? I'm struggling. Because you set your mind that way. You prepared for that journey and you did good. Well done. I commend you for that. I ask Allah to accept it from you. But I'm sorry, you put a deadline there. You've set your mind and you said, I'm going to go good until the month of Ramadan. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَنْتَهَيَ رَمَضَان. That's how it is. Continue worshipping Allah until the month of Ramadan ends. Set your mind to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Continue worshipping Allah until you encounter death. If you set your mind at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, that's it. It starts from here. It doesn't end until the final end. You find yourself a lot better. At least a lot better than what you expected. At least a lot better than what you thought of. So my brothers in Islam, subhanAllah, you look at it as if Ramadan was something from the past. Ramadan was something from the past. Ramadan was only 3 weeks ago. It's not something from the past. It's the past, the current, and the future. Your life should be Ramadan, in Ramadan, before Ramadan, after Ramadan. That's why our predecessors, you know what they used to do? Prepare for the month of Ramadan 6 months before the month of Ramadan. 6 months. So if next year Ramadan is going to be at the beginning of May, and I start talking about Ramadan in January, everyone's going to look at me and say, like, what are you talking about Ramadan for? There's still 5 months for the month of Ramadan. Well, that's what our predecessors used to do. 6 months. before the month of Ramadan, prepare for the month of Ramadan. But then 6 months after the month of Ramadan, they'll be supplicating to Allah and asking Allah to accept their worship in the month of Ramadan. So they lived Ramadan 24/7, 355 days according to the lunar year. Did you raise your hands to Allah and say, Allah, accept my worship in the month of Ramadan, when the month of Ramadan was less than a month ago? Did I raise my hands to Allah and say, Allah, I worship you in the month of Ramadan, accept my worship in the month of Ramadan? The Sahaba will do that for 6 months straight. And then start preparing themselves for the next Ramadan. My brothers in Islam, we need to set our mind straight and become afala akunu abdan shakura. If that's the case, I should be thankful to Allah. Allah blessed you with the month of Ramadan. Be thankful to Allah, inshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala, son of gratitude. So Allah gives you more, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you more. And one of the things that helps you to be steadfast and to be a grateful and a thankful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for you to put yourself in the right environment. And that's why one of the things that we do at the UMA to maintain myself and maintain you and maintain us all is that we set our camps, our brotherhood camp, our da'wah camp, our iman camp after the month of Ramadan. Next weekend, 7 days from now, next Friday, we are going on the brotherhood winter, post-Ramadan camp. Every single brother over the age of 16 is welcome. I invite you all. You could get the posters, you could get the flyers on your way out. Attend. Put yourself in that environment and relive the beautiful nights and days of the month of Ramadan during that beautiful spiritual brotherly environment. I wanna be in Jannah, Jannah, yeah. Jannah, Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah, 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 Jannah. A pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah, 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 Jannah.